Beautiful morning. It's spring. I know sometimes it feels like it's not, but by the calendar, it is spring. It's official. We're beginning a new series today, which kind of dovetails off of our lessons on Christ's passion. We're going to be focusing on restoring our own passion for God. Is there a need for that? Well, I'm convinced that there is. I've seen far too many believers burned out, stressed out, worn out, and checking out. And my experience is that the best of us get tired at times and are so often tempted to just give in or give up. If that's you this morning, I want you to listen very carefully. I have no intention or desire to beat you up today. That's the last thing you need. You don't need to be kicked when you're down. You need some help getting back up. I've entitled today's lesson, Putting Some Spring in Your Step. Yes, I confess that's a play on words here. It's on purpose. It's spring. But does anybody feel like they could use that? A little spring in your step today. Like you're maybe dragging your feet a little lately? Or just limping along, barely able to put one foot in front of the other at times. I assure you, you're not alone. In fact, believers have struggled to keep the spring in their step for a long time. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote to Christ followers in Galatia to encourage them to stay grounded in the reality of their salvation, being in personal faith in Jesus, not in keeping of rules, not in rituals and regulations, because you know what? That will wear you out quickly. His emphasis in the first four chapters of the book of Galatians is to remind them of the true gospel, that their sins were forgiven solely by virtue of God's fulfilled promise in sending His one and only Son to save us. That's where our salvation is. And that's where our hope rests. Then in chapter 5 of Galatians, he stresses the responsibility that Christians have to be led by the Spirit, not by their fleshly impulses. Today I want us to ponder, though, some words from chapter 6 of Galatians. We're going to be looking at some verses, and I'm going to begin in verse 1. We're just going to read through verse 10. I'd like you to listen very closely. If you want to open your Bibles, feel free to do that. But in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted." Verse 2, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, well, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with the instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Then verse 9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." Miss Carrie, would you come up here, please? I've asked Carrie to help me out with this. Okay. Carrie says, "Are you going to embarrass me, have me like, do stuff?" I said, "You better believe it." But tell you what, Carrie, I'm going to have you stand up on this upper level because I want everyone to see those boots. All right? Embarrassed you already. Now, how you doing, girl?
Good.
You doing good? You feeling good?
Mm-hmm.
You feeling good? Feeling strong today?
Okay.
Feeling okay? Feeling okay. Well, I'll tell you what, you're doing well, but you know, I want to just tell you that I'm pretty sure I've heard about your job. You've got some responsibilities at work, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, pick that up. That's your workload this week, okay? How's that feeling? Pretty good?
Yeah.
You got a lot of responsibilities at work? A lot of stuff, yeah. Does everything always go well there? No, not always. Okay. Good place to work, though, right? Now, you also have some responsibilities at home, don't you?
Yes.
You do. You're a wife and a mother and a grandmother and a daughter and a sister and a neighbor and a lot of responsibility, you know? Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Those are about equally balanced, you know, that they are. You like that? You kind of like that? I didn't want you tipping over too far. You know, but sometimes, you know, they're not. But now, you still feeling good?
I'm getting a little tired.
You're getting a little tired? Well, why would that be? You know, you were doing great a minute ago. Okay, we got some responsibilities, work, and at home, you got those. Well, you know what? We all have. That's what the scripture we read there says. You know, we all have our own load. We have our responsibilities, don't we? We all have our responsibilities in life. And we're supposed to carry those. We're not supposed to expect anybody else to do it for us. We're supposed to do it ourselves. So you're doing good. You're doing good. You know, and you know what? It's not a matter of you can put those down at any time. Well, you come home, you can maybe put the work one down. You can put the work one down for a little while. You know, there you go. But next morning, you got to put that back up. But you know what? You can never put this one down.
Correct.
You never can. Okay, no. But you can pick that one back up because you're back to work again.
All right.
Okay, there you are. You know, and you know what, though? From time to time, though, you got your work, you got your regular responsibilities at home, and then just some other stuff comes up, you know? Just some other stuff. I mean, you know what kind of stuff I'm talking about. It's the unexpected stuff. It's not the routine stuff. It's stuff, extra responsibilities. Sometimes it's because somebody else isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing, right? And you got to carry a little extra load. Sometimes it's because maybe you get a cold or a flu, you know, and that. So how you doing?
Pretty good. I feel balanced.
You're feeling balanced? Okay. Well, that's our intention, you know. So you're doing good with that. You're carrying that. Okay. Now, you're not getting tired.
Well, yeah.
You're getting tired. You weren't tired a moment ago.
No, I know.
You're getting tired. Okay. Well, you know what? And then other things happen. I'm telling you what. I mean, we can have disappointments. We can have disappointments that happen. We can have, you know, some heartbreak, you know, that happens. We can have some grief come into our life. You know, we can have some just concerns for others, some anxieties and some worries. How you doing? You doing all right?
Yeah.
You know, but boy, those things happen. And oh my goodness.
Wow.
All, you know, those are like,
jeez.
How you doing?
I'm doing good now.
You're not doing good now?
You need some help?
You need some help? Oh, well, wait a minute. Well, let me help you, okay? Let me help you a little bit with that. Because, matter of fact, we read in there that sometimes we need to help each other with their burdens.
Thank you.
Didn't we read that? Read that we need to do that and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, because, boy, it's hard enough sometimes to carry our own load and extra responsibilities. And then when these burdens come, oh, wow. Weigh you down, right?
Yep.
Weigh you down quickly.
Quickly.
Now, you know what? Let me help you with this too.
Thank you.
Let me help you with that too, okay? Let me help you with that too, okay? Let me help you. Okay?
Uh-huh.
You know what? Now, I can't really take those from you.
You can't.
Unless these would become so heavy that you couldn't put those down. And then maybe I could help you with this.
That's great.
Maybe I could help you with that too. And maybe there might be some ways we could help you with this too.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Okay, all right. That'd be great? Okay, have a seat. All right, give Carrie a hand. I love object lessons. Carrie, do you still love me? That's the question. She says, I'm not volunteering for anything else. Okay. I want us to look particularly, though, at a verse in that text. Verse 9. And again, Paul writing there in verse 9, he said, see, with all that, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. It's not sin, hear me, to get tired. Aren't you glad? It's not a sin to get tired. It's not. We all get tired. We all get weary. We all have our limitations. If we pour ourselves into any project, even if it's serving in the kingdom, see, doing good. Remember, Paul said, even do good to all men. Doing good to all, doing good in the church, doing good in our family, doing good at work, doing good to everybody. We eventually run low on energy. You know what I'm talking about? You do. The older I get, the less stamina I seem to have. I find myself running out of breath a little more often than I used to. You know, in shorter distances and need to take breaks a little more often. I'm looking for a place to rest more frequently than I used to. And again, like we're talking about there a little while ago, but we can also identify with what it means to be emotionally drained, not just physically tired, emotionally drained. We can feel depleted because we don't see any fruit from our labor. You know, when you're working and you're working hard, but you don't seem to be accomplishing anything, not only do you get physically tired, you can get discouraged. You seem like you're running on a treadmill, getting nowhere fast, don't see any progress. And again, that discouragement can really settle in, can't it? And if we factor in, again, those stresses, those anxieties, those disappointments, our tanks can run dry pretty quickly. Now, I don't believe that Paul is addressing here physical exhaustion in our text, or a sense of even feeling the blues, or the blahs, for that matter. So much as he's talking about awareness of the soul. Perhaps you've never experienced that. But my guess is that if you've lived any length of time and you've carried any weight in life and burdens in life, you have experienced that too. It can come from questioning our usefulness in life and particularly maybe even our worth in the kingdom. We can wonder if what we're doing really makes a difference at all. Does it matter to anyone that I'm pouring myself out this way, you know, day after day, week after week? Does anybody really care? Does God notice? I mean, does it matter to Him? Does He care? Does He care? Does He care about my contribution in life and in the kingdom? Does He care? Just one of the things, physical, emotional burdens can slow us down. They can weigh us down. The weight becomes so heavy that then again, that temptation there is to quit. See, to give up. Any combination of things can drive us to our knees. And the weariness can become overwhelming. The urge to give up can be so strong that many succumb to it. They do. And therein is a real problem. See, I said it's not a sin to get tired, but as far as God is concerned, from His perspective, it is a sin if we give up. If we quit. And if we're relying only upon our own strength and our own ability, we're going to be tempted to quit a lot and to give up a lot. Again, it's not in the growing weary that the problem is. It's in the giving up. But Paul seems to be saying in our text that the key to not giving up when overwhelmed with weariness is to keep our hopes up. Say to keep our hopes up. Notice that image of the farmer. The idea we'll reap a harvest. We will reap a harvest if we don't give up, if we don't quit. That's what keeps us going sometimes, is that knowledge, that affirmation, that confirmation, that promise that we will reap a harvest, that we will see fruit from our labor. It's not all for nothing. Even if we don't see immediate results, And though it may be a long time before we see fruit, we will see fruit if we don't give up. If we don't give up. Maybe a long time again, we'll see it, but we'll see it. God will reward our persistent efforts in the kingdom. Get a word of caution. Paul's not encouraging us to put our hopes in the reward, but in the rewarder. You hearing me? Not in the harvest, but in the one who gives the harvest. I want you to listen carefully to one of my favorite passages from Isaiah 40. Some of you, you know, may have this embroidered on a cap, such as I do, or on a tee, or on a banner hanging in your house, or some, needlepoint, or maybe banners in churches. Maybe you have it as a desktop. I've had that too. It's Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. The prophet says in verse 28, "Do you not know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." I love that, don't you? "Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Does that sound good? One of the things that really struck me there is when it says, "The Lord does not grow weary or faint." I've thought at times, and maybe you have thought similarly, I've thought about myself, boy, God must get tired of me. He must get tired of me. You know, and my shortcomings and my failings. He must get tired of me and saying, I give up, I quit so many times, maybe in my spirit, whether I do it or not. He must grow tired of that. Oh, I love that. He doesn't grow tired. He doesn't grow weary. He makes promises and he keeps them. He keeps them no matter how much time goes by. He keeps them. But I love this, that's not only he that doesn't grow tired, my hope in him prevents weariness and restores the soul. Did you get that from the text? Hope in God can rejuvenate us when we're so worn out and tired that we can hardly walk. It can invigorate weary wanderers and ignite smoldering wicks. Jesus talked about him being able to do that. Again, are we talking physically? As I said, though I believe that's not the primary emphasis, there's more to it than that. Let's be careful not to discount that idea entirely yet, though. We've got some folks right here in this church today who are older than I am. And I know some of the kids will say, "Come on, no, that's not possible." Yeah, look around. They're older than I am. They admit that. But they can run rings around me. They can. And it's not about just physical aptitude or strength. Irma and Ellie. Jason and Jennifer. John and Cheryl. More. A whole lot more. Ask them sometime where they get their strength. Where they get their wherewithal to keep going. And to keep going 90 miles an hour. Where's that coming from? Well, we can say, well, it's just raw determination. It's just true grit. You talk to them. You ask them. I'm telling you because I already know the answer. It's more than that. It's a whole lot more than that. Where's their strength come from? It comes from the Lord. Where's their vitality come from? Their hope in Him, and Him being their supplier, their provider, that their gracious, gracious God. I want to call your attention to another passage of Scripture that's often glossed over, this time in the New Testament. For the sake of clarity, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. This is Colossians 2, 12 through 15. speaking to believers in Colossae, Paul says, "For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead." It seems to me like last week we were talking about the power that's available to us because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and made available to us. You see that? Trusting in the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. New life. Hear that. He says, you were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature, and it was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. That's beautiful. Isn't that neat? He forgave all our sins. And then he says, he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Seems like we just sang about that earlier. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. I want you to drink this in. Like I say, it's been glossed over so many times by so many people. They just read over it, and don't let it sink in. God gave us new life in Christ. When we united with Christ in baptism, he gave us new life. Not the old one, new life. What does that speak of to you when you think about new life? Spring. New life in the spring, things coming forth in the ground, beautiful, lovely, wonderful, right? We look forward to it, right? There's some things coming up. My wife's so excited. There's some plants trying to come up. She thinks those lilies are going to come up. It sure looks like it, you know, at least the green's starting there. It's new life springing forth. In Christ, we're given new life. He forgave us all our sins. All of them, not most, not almost all, not all but one, all our sins forgiven. He expunged our criminal record. That's that idea of nailing this record to the cross. So some say, well, he nailed the law to the cross. He fulfilled the law, and the requirements of the law are no longer there for us as far as justification. But there's more than that being said here. Satan has nothing to accuse us of. Nothing. Nothing. Our record has been cleared. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Nailed to the cross. Gone. Done away with. He's given us victory over sin and death. The enemy's power has been destroyed, disarmed. Wow, that's good news, isn't it? That's good news. Now, we were talking earlier about those burdens, those things that we carry around, those things that weigh us down, responsibilities and other things that may come against us and attack us and seem to just pile up on us. But I want you to hear something. What Isaiah was speaking about, what Paul is speaking about, is not all of that stuff. He's talking about something else being lifted from us. Something else been taken away from us. Some other burdens and weights that we could not bear. And no one could help us with. No one could relieve us of the weight of our sin. The guilt. The condemnation. No one could remove that but Jesus. And he did. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Yes, he'll help us with everything else, but listen, what he's helped us with, and he will help us with time and again, not just one day, but every day, he removes the weight and the burden of our sin. He takes it away, removes it. It's not a matter of he just helps us carry it, it's gone. It's not that he takes it away for today and puts it back on us tomorrow. We do that. We do that. We say, oh, I'm so thankful today I'm forgiven in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I have this new life. I have this wonderful, wonderful assurance that I'm forgiven. And then we go out and we mess up or we fall short or we do something. And then we start letting the guilt pile on us again. Or, you know, if we don't do that, we're borrowing from the past. We're borrowing from the past. We're saying, you know, I know God forgave me of that, but I just can't forgive myself. Anybody been there? Hear me. Jesus Christ gave his life, rose again on the third day, that you don't have to do that. You don't have to carry that weight anymore, any longer, ever. You needn't be burdened, weighed down with that. The shame, the guilt, gone. It seems we sang about that too. But see, sometimes we sing it, but do we get it? Sometimes we read it, but do we get it? What Jesus has done for us. Jesus has done this. Now listen, if that doesn't put spring in our step, what will? See, the reality is when we realize that our sin's forgiven, the guilt is gone, that yes, even those loads we're able to manage better because we don't have that extra weight of the guilt and shame and the condemnation. We don't have that extra weight. It's gone. It's gone forever. And yes, Jesus does say, come to me, all you who are weary. Can anybody finish that? And heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your souls. For your souls. Anybody weary today? Weighed down with all kinds of stuff? We're here to help you. God will help you with that. He'll help you. But if you are weighed down, if you are worn out from trying to carry around the burden of your sin, nobody can help you with that but Jesus. Turn to Him. Surrender that to Him. Give it to Him. And I'll tell you what, He'll take it away. He will take it. As far as the east is to the west, casting into the deepest sea, and you'll never have to carry it again. Isn't that good news? Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name. You are a good and loving God. You have provided for us everything we need in life. You have provided also in your church and in our family support and encouragement and friends sometimes that can come alongside and help us when things are weighing us down. But God, you knew. We couldn't help ourselves and nobody else could help us with the greatest weight of all. That which would weigh us down and destroy us, our sin. Thank you that Jesus not only paid for on the cross, He rose from the dead, showing that He had that victory over sin's control and for us too. So Father, I pray there is anybody here who hasn't yet accepted Jesus as their Savior, embraced Him as Lord, given Him the burden, the weight of their sin. And I pray that they would do that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.